All right, I was loving, I can't remember her last name, but Judith with the Seekers, and oh, just a fantastic voice, and yeah, it's a good way to wrap up. So everyone, hey, this is Jerry Fabiano, KYGT, LPFM 102.7 and 103.9, and coming at you live here from the center of the universe, and that's Clear Creek County, and we're in the majestic building. Thank you, Mary Jane, for giving us a place here to broadcast from until we get our own permanent place, and so appreciate that. And and in the studio with me is Bill Macy, and we're going to be talking here to Bill in a moment about his run for the commissioner and why he wants to, become commissioner for District 1 here in Clear Creek County. Before we go on, though, I do want to thank all our sponsors. Without sponsors, community radio like this, not possible, and we can use more. So if you're out there, it's relatively inexpensive, and you get all, great people like me. Well, I'm not sure if I'm great, but we talk about you and how great you are and how much you appreciate, and you're a community contributor and all that stuff there. And I bring this hour. I come in here, volunteer time, and, have fun with playing some music, interviewing great guests like Bill and authors coming in on Writer's Talk and everything, too. But also, put some bucks up and help sponsor the show, because without sponsors, without cash, we cannot, run the show. And that's what it comes down to. Everybody knows that there. So, anyway, if you get an opportunity, love to hear from you. And, by all means, sign up. And so, Bill, how's that microphone working for you over there?
Test.
It was working pretty well. Okay. You've been here before.
Yeah.
So you're not a rookie.
Uh-uh.
No, not at all there, but
many things.
Yeah, Bill's been around for a while. You were on city government, city council. You were mayor here in Idaho Springs, Project Senior Citizen. Your Columbine Garden Club. You were on the I-70 Task Force, the Tourism Board, the School Board, and I can go on and on and on. But I would much rather have you talk about it, Bill. So welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
All right. And congratulations on your jump into the race here.
I did it on my birthday. I had to celebrate somehow.
Ah. What better way to celebrate your birthday, right? And run for office, right?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, happy birthday, by the way. Yeah. So
I got right now about 30 years experience in Clear Creek County, in Idaho Springs, mayor, council. 23 years on the I-70 task force, 30 years with the senior center, and involved in many, many projects. I feel I can still contribute to the county with my background and knowledge.
Yeah. And you've been around, as you say, for a while. You've got quite a history here. You were mayor when?
1993 to 2001.
Okay. So a couple terms?
Two terms mayor, three terms on council. I did one more term after mayor to follow through on, like Mitchell White, the senior housing project.
Okay.
And I did two terms on council before, and on deliberately I didn't step up after the first. I decided to keep going, and after 8 years I had a lot more experience, knowledge. I knew what I was doing, budget, vision, network, the whole thing. And I thought I had a pretty successful 8 years as mayor.
Okay. Yeah, and because you get on, no matter how well you think you're prepared for a position, until you step into it, the learning curve is pretty amazing.
I call it clues and cues, and the plot thickens. It never thins.
Say that again. It's cues and clues.
Clues and cues. Okay. And the plot thickens. It never thins. You got to. They can't see me ducking.
Yeah, because as soon as you're out there and you're in that position, you're on the seat. And
right.
But that's what you bark for. That's what you want to go up. And special people do those things there. So, yeah, good there. When you were on council and mayor, the big thing was senior citizens and the senior housing, I should say, project.
The first year we built City Hall. Project support, the new sewer plant.
Uh-huh.
That was quite a year. Jim Reed was mayor. The town was broke when we took over. And through his leadership, we came out at the end of his term in the plus, you might say. And we also launched some other things, like I was an incorporator on the tourism board with Mary Jane and Bob Boland and several other people. Mm-hmm. And we developed our focus as the day trippers from Denver at that time. And we came up with a thing called a blast from the pastime and tried to sell a downtown. And it's come a long way. It's really mm-hmm. working. Mm-hmm. Now, although the tourism board has another, not blast from the past, I forget what they call it up on the sign.
Okay. But it's a, and when, the idea of bringing people not only to Idaho Springs but across the county, then right. up through, and right. You got to target, because now we'll get into.
We got the lodging tax back then to help fund it.
Okay.
We did the redevelop the downtown. I was on that board.
Mm-hmm.
That was very successful. And as soon as we opened that, the chief of police told me you wanted parking. Well. You need more. That was pretty good.
Yeah, now looking at like we need a parking garage or something. I mean, it's just the town is busy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, even on off days, you would think it would slow down a little bit. But so whatever work you, Mary Jane, Bob, whatever you've done in the past, because it's become like a, and it makes sense for people who live in Denver who just, you know, have a few hours, they want to come up to the mountains, have a mountain experience some way, you know, come on up and have a microbrew or a pizza at Bojo's or mm-hmm. whatever. And so that is drawing to people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, but, so then you were, okay, so you're on council and then what do you do when you're off time? I mean, you know, when
I was building a business back then.
Okay.
Life was 110 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
I had a business for 33 years. And when I turned 70, I turned 72 this week. When I turned 70, I just got rid of the business. I didn't sell it.
Mm-hmm. And you thought you were going to retire, huh? So you're going to be commissioner. Yeah.
If yeah, you right. To be. Need something to do. No.
Yeah.
You know, in the past, we've gone through many projects, and some of them have had fun starts. For instance, the museum. There used to be an old pool building there, and the town had rebuilt the pool in 73, and by the 80s it was falling apart again, and by the late 80s it was closed, and discussion was what to do with it, and we were talking about a museum, and so, and this is literally the truth, that when Bob Boland had the H&H Motel, I went down there one evening, and over a six-pack of Killian's Red and a Big Chief pad, we came up with the concept of building that museum. Mm. And 4 years later, we put it together, and we actually got an award for it. Was a real win-win, a bunch of players, and we shared the award with Craig that year.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, you know, other things like the Mitchell White, that's very complicated, and putting together different players. The Citizens Park, I guess moving the train, all kinds of things we've done.
Okay. But it sounds like, you know, that a successful leadership in the governmental, in the public realm, is maybe first of all having a vision.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And then to be able to bring people on board, incorporate them, that sort of thing. That's what it sounds like you're saying here.
Putting together a committee and taking your time.
You know, okay.
The Mitchell White Senior Center took us 16 years.
Uh-huh.
In 91, we bought the property. It was a gas station. Paid it off in 3 years. And then from that point till 2001, with the help of Ruth White, Don Mitchell, Laura Thurman, all the great old volunteers in our thrift store, we saved $400,000. And we used that to leverage a $3 million building. It's very complicated, and maybe we can tell that story some other time.
Yeah.
I could go on about it, but it's up to you.
Yeah, well, the key
so
is...
So the key, what I'm talking about, is putting together players. Uh-huh. And I got real good at it, getting grants, leveraging the governor's money. He likes that. So you get so much from that area and other areas, and the players come together and make a win-win out of the projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, because there's so many moving parts to a project like that. It begins with a vision, but then when you start getting into all the details, it gets pretty complicated. And the other thing that strikes me too, Bill, and a little philosophical thing, is that somehow, with America, we seem to be so focused in on instant gratification, want it now. But sometimes this stuff takes a while.
So we got to 2001 and formed a building committee. It still took 6 years to facilitate our way through that. We even fired an engineering group. We had great people on it, Nelson Fugate, Joanne Sorensen, Fabian Watrous, Mary Ragsdale, Randy was on it, Wheelock, and it just took a... when we stepped in it, we didn't have a concept of what we ended up with, but we just kept going. We got students from the Center for Community Development, graduate students, to take the first look and kind of jumpstart us. We've done that with Citizens Park. We did that again with the museum. Mm-hmm. The downtown development, it really works. And I think I'd look forward to doing that next year with project support. We're on our 30-year restoration. After the effort to build the other one, there's a lot to be done in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to move to the county level, though. So
sure.
How do you, or what way do you move these skill sets, and what's important? Why are you running is really what it gets down to, being a commissioner.
23 years on all three studies of I-70. I bring a background that I feel I can apply. And quite frankly, CDOT has... kind of reneged to me on the PEIS in that they're putting 80% of the money into roads and 20% into AGS, where the PEI, the record of decision, says the first thing is the AGS, and after 20 years we can look at roads. Mm-hmm. There needs to be political will on the AGS too, the governor, the legislature.
Yeah.
So you need to get them to refocus. I think where things happened was Governor Hickenlooper said, I want something done, and that started the tunnel projects, and now has led to efforts to put one more lane in. I've stated this in the PES when Norton had his listening thing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, and I got off the technical side of it. It's we built a, this is back in 2003 or... We built a world-class airport. We revitalized the downtown. We have world-class destinations and some of the finest recreation in America. And CDOT's vision is one more lane.
It sounds somewhat retro, that the old way of solving a transportation problem is just to build another lane. And I'm in agreement with you on this here. And I point to the I-25 going through Denver. You remember the T-Rex project. And we're going to blow that up and expand it and, make it 50% larger or whatever. And the drive time is, if not even worse, than what it was before the project started.
Right. The reason they got rail down that way was there had to be a clean air component for Governor Owens to...
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, Governor Owens and Norton were strictly roads.
Well, how do you then, we'll say you win, okay, you become the next commissioner. How do you, with your background, expertise, or whatever, what do you bring to the table vis-a-vis CDOT, the highway, et cetera, that perhaps your other opponents might not? Why are you a better candidate in that regard?
All the accumulated knowledge and the way I see it, that they need to focus on AGS. It's like there's no real plan, vision for the state. How do you connect Denver to Durango? That sort of thing. How do you better, or just in this county, it's throughput. How do you get the people that own second homes to Summit County and really don't need to drive out there. And there's 40% of Summit County, I don't know the statistic now, but 40% of it when we were doing this was second homes.
Mm-hmm. You know. But and you have the amount of people.
In 1989, in the first study of I-70, we got the federal highway guys to come up. And what they told us was, they don't care what you do, there'll still be congestion. And even if we get the AGS, there may still be congestion, but it won't be the throughput people. It more likely people that'll stop here, right. The day trippers.
Right, right. And you will relieve, you know, and that's my argument about the eastbound peak shoulder lane from Georgetown, approximately exit 232 up through Idaho Springs. And I say this over and over, people really get tired of hearing me saying it probably, but the old garden hose thing where you have a lot of pressure coming through a narrow corridor, in other words, two lanes coming down Georgetown Hill around there, then it opens up. And of course, you relieve the pressure. Just the opposite is going to happen if you build a westbound lane. All you're going to do is move that pinch point, which right now sits on Floyd Hill, to the center of the county, and then the pressure is going to be on to right. build from so, there, you know, up.
In the PEIS, which is basically studying the direct impacts, the indirect impacts, and the cumulative impacts. So say you do something in Minturn, how does it affect it here?
Mm-hmm.
They left out cumulative impacts, which would be kind of getting back to the point of the vision for a state and where you go.
Right. And I would think, and correct
so,
me.
To me, the PEIS is really only 65-70% complete, although the record of decision was agreed to and adopted by all the players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and would you get, when you're talking about the impact outside, beyond Clear Creek or whatever, it's just a number of vehicles. And you drive into Summit County, which is geographically maybe the same size as Clear Creek. In other words, it's not very big, and they're all going to a couple, four areas maybe, like Breckenridge or whatever, but those vehicles have to go somewhere. They have to sit somewhere. It's called parking lots and parking garages. And I have friends in Summit County who are quite resentful of a lot of this here, you know, that mm-hmm. that their lifestyles, their homes and everything are being upended by this, you know, impact at this time of year.
Yeah. One of the things that was always against us was Breckenridge and ski country out of Vail. And in our conversations with Vail, we talked to them about just building a bed, not a parking place. Mm-hmm. And they never never went for that. They were one of the reasons.
Let's move the conversation a bit specifically from I-70, but with that broader idea of the numbers coming. Recently, or this past year in particular, up on Guanella Pass, for example, the number of vehicles parked, quite frankly, illegally all over the place has risen to a major issue there, that it's become a safety. You can't even get through sometimes up there, especially if there's an emergency. Mm-hmm. And we have the numbers coming up, and you know, the Denver population is burgeoning. I mean, it's blowing up. Colorado is one of the fastest growing states, and they're primarily heading to the Denver Boulder Front Range area. And people come to Colorado in large part for either reason, like I moved here, you moved here, or people were born and they stay, is because of this mountain experience. Even if they're living in the urban area, they pretty much want the mountain experience in one way or another, you know, summer, winter, however that right. may look. We just talked about
there's you know. More traffic in the summer. In the winter, it's point to point. In mm-hmm. the summer, they're going everywhere.
Because the roads are open and they want to camp and everything. But still, there's one corridor pretty much coming up out of Denver. I mean,
sure.
You get way up to like 14, Colorado 14 going out of Fort Collins, or 24 there's, going out of, you know,
there's
or 285.
Other, parts that CDOT refused to let into the study. For instance, the Moffin Tunnel is only used to 5% of its capacity, that whole corridor leading into the, again, how do you connect Steamboat, Craig?
Right, there. Right.
Then there's the one that I like but got absolutely nowhere. What way back then, I can deviate here. So E-470 is a private authority, and they built 53 miles of road.
Right.
I'll come back to that. So we, suddenly CDOT created this tolling, I forget what it was exactly was, but it, you were able to build things in toll or tollway that
right.
thing through the legislature. So a bunch of us from Dr. Cog, I was on the board of directors then, went over to CDOT. And the second presentation was from E-470. And they had they presented that they had a 52 miles of road and a $90 million a year budget. This has probably changed. It was back then. And when you think about it, CDOT has 6,000 miles of road and only $800 million to do it. So they came up with this tollway thing. And there's I was asking questions. So if you build a park, then you can toll the road that goes into it, you know. And except what they wanted to do was the real bureaucracy thing about how to implement it. And the other question was, there's a thing called Stevens Pass. And if it's off 285, and if you go under Stevens Pass, you come under out down below Breckenridge, so you don't spoil their ambience, and it's like a pressure relief thing for I-70. That went absolutely nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably toll that one.
So it sounds as
I guess I deviated a bit.
But no, but we're talking here about then if the larger issue is. The amount of traffic coming through, the pressures on, and we get it. Okay, people want to come up. Okay, I understand that there. But it's not like the Front Range where there's a lot of flat land. You could just keep building highway after highway and expanding.
Right. So,
yeah, well, these are mountains. You can't just blow, you know.
Through the first and second studies, the second being the MIS, our theme was to keep it between the guardrails. You can do whatever you want. And eventually you see what they did. They, back then they said, no, we can't do that. But they did it here, and that, you know, they gave themselves variances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were up to.
Well, they are, and then that presents a problem. I wrote an article a month or two ago about it, and I had a good conversation with the sheriff, Rick Walbers, about the speeds that are going through there, and because the lanes are like a foot narrower to begin with. Now there's no way to pull over, you know, that the CDOT says, for example, the eastbound peak shoulder lane, and be true in the westbound too, is that becomes the shoulder so that when it's closed and you have an emergency, you pull over onto that. Except the human behavior, because it's always in our head that when you, let's say you're cruising along and all of a sudden you see your tire pressure go down, which direction do you go, left or right, right? And, you know, it's in our head. We're going to pull over to the right. And I've seen a number of times where people have now, you know, been in the right-hand lane, like around Dumont or something like that, right past it, and literally stop almost all the way on the highway. They're butted up against it. But then the speed's also coming through there, and law enforcement is having a devil of a time controlling that simply because you cannot pull someone safely over for breaking speeds. And I mean, right now I say if you're not doing 75, you're impeding traffic in a 65 mile zone. So by staying in the, you know, the footprint between the guardrails, that in turn is creating some other issues out there, and primarily safety. So it's a lose-lose, it seems.
Plus the pressure on our emergency services.
Yes.
To respond to that. You know, in 1975, there were 142 responses to I-70, and now it's up to 1,200 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to get compensated for that.
Yeah. Because that's a strain on our budget there
with
the ambulance service and everything too. But I think, you know, in the big, big picture, what we're talking about here is what are alternatives not only to widening I-70, okay, AGS, but outside of even that. So you're like, you're talking, you know, like the Stevens Pass thing off of 285.
Yeah, they'll never do it. But
still,
it's an interesting one.
You know, to keep pointing out that there are other ways to address
this. There's other options in a broader sense. In other words, that cumulative impact part of the PEIS that was left out.
Yeah, no, that's a major thing there, you know, issue. And that's something, you know, it kind of goes back to you, because you're a local, you know, official. And when someone, you know, you can talk, you know, like you were saying, senior center, et cetera. But if you don't fix my road, you are on my list. Because that's the most important thing, your road and your sewer and everything, because that's a daily thing. You're on your road every day. And so for those in Clear Creek, I-70 is our road. I mean, you know, other than the frontage road there, and we deal with that all the time. So, yeah, it's a primary. So, primary.
You know, other things that I'd like to be part of, or continue to be a part of, is our senior stuff. And I've mentioned rebuilding Project Sport One, and maybe some more housing, some more senior housing. They're getting an awful lot of that down in Denver, and we've not checked in on that. And also assisted living. We need assisted living up here. And in the broader sense, the clinic needs to be, it's doing really well. And so in the future, we're going to have to expand it. I'd like to see us do it in a way where we put a whole bunch of players together down at the old lumberyard, not just a clinic and an ambulance thing, but maybe some senior housing, assisted living. I don't know what other players might want to come in, become involved in that. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it allows us to go out and look for funding in many ways, instead of coming to the citizens of Clear Creek County and indebting the county with that bond issue. I think the first road is to look at how, you know, to, again, maybe it's the old-time way, but get some community development students up and ask any players to come along and let them come up with a bit of a vision, and then we move forward.
Yeah, no, that's, I think, your idea.
I got really good at getting grants. You know, we got $500,000 from severance money on Mitchell White. We got another $500,000 on the water plant, $250,000 on A Street, you know, on and on. The museum, the, a lot of it was severance money. We've gotten low-interest loans for, like, rebuilding the reservoir and water plant facilities. And
So the funding itself and then the planning, because the whole idea also of health care and housing for seniors, assisted living, this, with our generation, has really, I mean, this has become a nationwide.
Right, and within that, transportation.
Yes.
Needs to be, there's several players in the county continue to think, and Cindy Dickin is really right on this, that we need to get together, and there's some problems that occur because of the different funding sources, but we need funding for our, I mean, transportation for our veterans, for our seniors, for anybody and everyone in the county.
Right, because not every senior lives in Idaho Springs.
No.
And we, I happen to know some in Georgetown, for example.
Yeah.
Empire.
You know? Right.
Yeah. And then when there's a health issue need, or just general, I need to get to the doctor, how did they get there? So you got we call the microbus.
Right. We got Project Support in partnership with VOA, where we take people to doctors and, you know, we also do trips, well, to Safeway, Walmart. We were doing King Supers. There's been a bit of a cutback that impacted those particular extra transportation things, like the King Supers and Walmart. But we're going to backfill it. VOA bus can't do them, but we have our old bus that we're going to now start doing veterans trips down to Golden. And
what about the old high school, middle school complex right here on 103? Is that a potential for, you know, for whatever, housing?
That's a tough one. We spent 4 years on that with Peggy. Kevin O'Malley, and the outcome, we just couldn't do anything with it. The problem with it is it was one of two experimental schools in America built in the 60s, one in Harlem, one here, and the federal government paid for it, and it was that open classroom concept. And what happens is after the open classroom concept goes away, how do you create classrooms that where you don't have to go through one classroom to get to another?
You bulldoze it. I'm not suggesting to bulldoze this building here, but I began my career teaching in Aurora, and we were in an open classroom building itself. And you're right, it was just a big open area. And the only thing it separated was dividers that were about as tall as you and I. And so the noise level, whatever. And finally, the Aurora School District just said, we're done. And they literally built a brand new building, and they bulldozed and raised the other one. You know, so that might be the answer at some point. Is the building still, now that's the school district's building, right? Is it usable? Can it be repurposed as it is, you know, with, you know, going inside? And, you know, of course, there's asbestos probably and stuff like that, you know, clear that out. Or is it simply like you're buying the lot and now you have to pay for the, you know, all the way the residue there? But that's a big, big thing, because that's a primary piece of property right there.
Mm-hmm. You know, really expensive to take that building out of there. Mm-hmm. But there's real potential if you're willing to. Well, we're not Blackhawk. We don't take apart mountains and stuff. You know, it's just,
right. Yeah, no, that's a, there's a, you know, and, you know, not offering answers is just that right now, I think, is that, okay, these are issues, and then what are some ways we can look at addressing them, you know, so.
School board has a tough road on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried to help.
It's almost like a, what do you call the, not the albatross around your neck, but, you know, something like that. Right. You know, you're just carrying it there. So so what other issues? Okay, so we talked idea of I-70, you know, mitigating the traffic flows here, you know, transportation then, and then how that deals then with seniors. We're talking about senior housing. Housing for a workforce, too. You know, all those aspects there that you need to. What else, you know, is on your mind?
Well, I can go. I spent 9 years in the Gambling Impact Committee, 8 years on Dr. Cog's Denver Regional Council of Governments Board of Directors. I can, you know, I can pick up on stuff like that. I definitely, the county's been having trouble getting someone to represent them on Dr. Cog's senior advisory stuff down there, and since Fabian Watrous passed away, and I will take that down there. I think there's it's a way to feel out money and mm-hmm. where things are going for senior housing and transportation. And right. It also has to do with the how VOA is funded and what money we get up here for Meals on Wheels. And
Yeah. And I just want to remind, I should have done this a couple of minutes ago, our listening audience, that this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT, LPFM 102.7, 103.9. This is The Rabbit Hole, visiting here with Commissioner candidate Bill Macy. And, what's his area of expertise, which seems to be a somewhat lengthy list, and your vision for the county, what issues and so forth.
Vision for the county also is the economics in the valley, not just what happens up high. It's somehow to get the economics going. The towns are doing real good, but there's spaces between that could be improved on. There's some stuff that's missing. I don't know how to say this. You know, when we were first here, the downtown, and same with Georgetown, they had different amenities. We had a bowling alley, a theater, a Gambles, a Ben Franklin, a Montgomery Ward's, two liquor stores, you know, banks. Clear Creek Supply was in the downtown. And the tourism was on the east end. And since the involvement of the downtown, there's some needs, I think, that can be identified that we need to look after, and not necessarily the way the world was in the 70s, but something like a cleaners, a paint store, stuff that, you know, you have to go to Home Depot or down to Denver for. It might help attract people to come and live here, although right now they put a house on the market and it gets grabbed up. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're touching on areas about attracting younger families, for
right.
example.
Yeah, for instance, a really good clinic is important for a mother that's having a baby or has a young child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also like places like Georgetown, Silver Plume, mm-hmm. Empire.
Right.
What do you envision, you know, because your history has been, while it's dealt with countywide issues, no doubt about it, for example.
That's what I've done here.
Yeah, I've been more focused in Idaho Springs. So, you know, talk to the people in Georgetown Empire right now. You know, if mm-hmm. I'm in Empire, I'm in Georgetown, Dumont, even on the East End over there by King Murphy. They all get a vote. And
right.
So
I'll be talking to them.
Okay.
You know, they both have their own commissioners, too, and I'd like to hear from them.
Yeah.
What the needs are in their districts.
Okay. So are you planning on, now you're not running as a party candidate. You're
no.
running independent.
Independent.
Okay.
I'll be on the ballot in November. Had a couple failed starts and stops years ago over the primary system.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided to do it as an unaffiliated
okay.
this time. And quite frankly, all the stuff I've been talking about that we've done, the projects and what we've built, and is dealing with people, not, and it wasn't necessarily Republican, Democrat, Independent. It was people that were, you know, wanted to help and volunteer, and let's get this done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then what's your game plan here to, you say you're going to be talking to people? Or...
Well, I have to go out and get signatures to get on the ballot, and I'll start that way. And then I have through the summer to go door to door. And
uh-huh. So if you hear a rapping on your door and you look through the little peephole and you see this guy, you see an Adam's apple, then you
waving a little flyer. And... you can't see my head because I'm so tall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great stuff here. So, yeah, do you got anything more you're willing to share here? We got some
sure,
time.
I got one.
Okay.
So over the years with CDOT, they I've only been able to do this twice, but maybe I should, this is kind of humorous for me, but you get to the point, like, what's your background? And I'd say I'm the only person in this room who has 2 degrees in transportation. I went to 2 transportation colleges.
Really?
176 semester hours.
Wow. Where were those, in New York? Or
College here? Of Aeronautics by LaGuardia and Western Michigan's Department of Transportation.
So you know a thing or two about moving people around?
Right? And family background, I had interest and mm-hmm. you know, I vision a little bit on that stuff. So
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, and one other I did want
to. But the joke was to piss him off. I didn't mean to get by that. You...
Wait for the punchline here. let's just talk, and you don't have to go into detail here, but, you know, with Henderson, you know, it looked like it was going to be down already. Now it's, you know, operating. But still, it has an impact on the county budget and taxes and so forth there. Just your perspective on that whole situation.
Perspective is obviously they're going to close, although they have another ore body down below. The economics of bringing it up to the belt don't seem to fit the price. And when they do close, the county will have 30% of its income off the mill levy from what's left. The problem there is if Henderson decides to really close it, because they'll have to pay the state and do remediation. But if they'd start pulling out power stations, sewer plants, water stuff, then our mill levy continues to drop. because of the assets aren't there anymore. So it's something that's kind of tough. But on the flip side, over the years, because we had a big mine like that and so many miners living in the county, we were able to get a lot of money through grants through DOLA's severance tax money, literally millions we've gotten in grants through that. So, but down the road, we got to be careful not to take the windfalls and make the government grow.
Right.
We need the windfalls for something for the that's going to last.
How about repurposing that?
I don't have to
repurpose that whole area, both above ground and below ground.
Sure. Ski areas, mountain bike paths, that sort of thing.
Yeah, which
Jones Pass. The old timers used to use Jones Pass as a recreation facility. The older people here.
Uh huh. Yeah, and you're still getting, when other areas become more less accessible, we'll put it that way, I'm talking like the ski country area, both in terms of volume traffic, for example, heading that direction, Winter Park's the next one, but you still negotiate Berthoud Pass, which could be very daunting for some people, but then also prohibited price-wise, too, if you go backcountry skiing, all you have to do is buy your equipment in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then just show up, put them on, and there you go. makes it a lot more affordable. So to look at, some things like that, if we're looking at the recreational economy, the greenway, whatever.
It's something that we got to be careful with in the budget in the county. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to put together, when we do things, lots of groups and see what kind of funding's out there.
Okay. Yeah, because it's in them. What is the future of Clear Creek? In the past, we just touch on tangentially here about, Henderson being a primary basis of our tax support for the last 40 years or so, maybe since the mid-70s anyway. Okay, that's slowly going away. And in time, even if it never really goes 100% away, it's starting to dissipate. Okay, so then you were talking earlier about then what does this economy look like? And is it more of a recreational economy, or what? I mean, these are big questions.
It's out tourism.
There. Tourism. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Commuters. Mm-hmm. People working for CDOT and at the tunnel. And the infrastructure jobs like Safeway.
Yeah. And where are they going to live? Yeah,
that's another problem. It's always, years ago, there was more housing, though. It seems to have gone away. For instance, where the radio station now is, you could get a room for $15 a week. And I think Margaret had 18 rooms up here. Uh-huh. And a lot of people in transition used it. Uh-huh. For $15 a week, you got a change of sheets once a week. By the way, I hope.
Uh-huh. Well, that's nice to have, It's a nice little perk.
There were also a lot of houses that were two kind of apartment things that have been remodeled to one. And where do you put the workers that you need?
Mm-hmm. And, do we need multi-level, multi-purpose, plexes, I should say, buildings?
Like the buildings that include across the spectrum affordability from the low to the high.
Sure. Yeah, and
that's
more
another
compact
way of making things work with the numbers.
Because, if we say, up to 75 to 80% of our county is undevelopable simply because it's mountains and, BLM or Forest Service, whatever, National Forest, that limits the amount of developable space, but then even accessing up and down there, it's not like we got all kinds of side roads. You run into a traffic problem in Denver. Okay, hey, I'm going to head up this way and go around that way. You don't have that option here. You got one road, basically, okay, and a side road there, east and west, and that's it.
I heard it was closed yesterday, I-70.
I'm not sure. It closed.
Floyd Hill to somewhere again. I heard it secondhand.
Okay. Yeah, there was a truck that blew up the other night at Georgetown. And just to come down, and I tell you, it was Nice little inferno going there. Whew. And kudos to the fire authority. Got there relatively quickly. And but, I mean, there was just walls coming up. And the hulk of it, of the bed, is still sitting when I left today. As you come up the eastbound ramp from Georgetown to get on the interstate, it's to your left there. So he didn't even quite get down to the truck pull-off there. Whew. And we heard like three explosions. First, it sounded like a transformer had gone. And it was like, okay. Well, then there was another. And then when you start looking around, then holy smoke. I mean, there was just flame shooting everywhere. So, and then there was another truck. It blew over on its side, I guess, the night before, 2 days before that with the winds. You know, it's part of the adventure of living up here.
It's always been an adventure.
Yeah. And that's why I worked.
I plowed snow for 3 years up top. Out of Silverthorn. I called it a high-stress adventure. Except on new moon graveyard storms, no adventure. Just stress.
Oh, this is so dark. And
oh, boy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, with new moon, everything, too. So sweet. So you're looking forward to this race,
yes,
then, huh?
Yes, I am. I'm going to talk about my experience. I feel I have a lot to offer.
Okay. And
I'd like to come back and just go over some of the interesting ways we've built things and other things that have gone on in this county through my since 1972 when I got here.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's one thing I want to do here personally is to make this available for you and other candidates, whoever, you know, running, because we do have the race for commissioner here in Clear Creek. And then we have others as well, you know, because our congressman right now, Jared Polis, has decided to run for governor. So his seat is open. So, you know, at any rate, I'm just going to have my airtime available for folks like you to come on in and talk about it so we can get our voters educated, encourage them to
maybe
vote.
Maybe not just about the politics of my campaign, but maybe I can tell you some interesting stories about how life has evolved here and what went on.
I think it'd be wonderful, yeah, to do that. You know, because you've been around, you know, since I used to joke with my students in school when they said you're old, and I go, I was around when dirt was new and God was a child, so don't be messing with me.
Yeah. You know?
But you know, you've been around. You're one of the old timers here, and you know, for how many? What, 40 years now?
72, so 40 something.
Oh, how about? Well, yeah, almost pushing 50. Yeah, but 40 something here.
I met Randy Wheelock the winter of 72, 73. Working construction up on Floyd Hill.
Yeah, life hasn't been the same for you since then, huh?
Nope.
Randy's listening there. We're just kidding. I'm sure if he were sitting here, he would have a great line for that.
Yeah, he would.
He's one of the great quippers of all time. I just love him. But yes, but all right. So, Bill, do you have a website up yet, or is that still you're working on?
Facebook page or my email.
Okay.
You want that?
Yes, sir.
It's Volodya.
Spell that.
V as in Victor, A-L-O-D, Y as in yellow, A, at Prolynx, Prolynx.com.
Okay, one more time.
Volodya, V-A-L-O-D-Y-A, at Prolynx, Prolynx.com. And so, Volodya is to Vladimir as Bill is to William. My father came from, got political asylum actually from Georgia, Russia years ago. He's Georgian. And mother would go, Volodya dear. And that's where I picked that up.
Very nice. Yeah. But it's very unique. Someone's not going to exactly copy that.
Yeah, it is unique. So something I like to explain it a little bit.
Right on. Okay. This has been awesome. Great conversation. Once again, congratulations. It's exciting. We have a contested race going here, you know, for a commissioner, and we'll see if others get into it as well. And people are going to have to get on a big learning curve here to get to know about all the candidates, you and the others that get in, and you know, your background, your expertise, what do you bring to the table, and then what your vision is.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome. All right, everyone, this is Jerry Fabiana, KYGT, LPFM 102.7, 103.9, and this is The Rabbit Hole. Been visiting here with Commissioner Candidate Bill Macy, and we're going to do a some music in between, just pre-recorded here. I'm going to get set up. My friend Matt coming in, and he actually will start his show at about 2 o'clock, the middle way. And on his show, he has a guest calling in on No Labels. So the push to step above and beyond party labels, and Bill's already doing that there, is running as an unaffiliated there. But we'll be doing that between the 2 and 3 o'clock hour. I'll be co-hosting with him on that. But in the meantime, let's just have some music and keep enjoying this beautiful day we have up here in Clear Creek County. And by the way, before I break away, do want to say this has been recorded, and we will have it on the radio's website and on my website too. So at jerryfabianic.com, and I have it under Earthwise is the where I'll have it stationed there. And any rate, so just an FYI, and it will be repeated Monday about the same time, so 12:30 to about 1:20. So if you missed any of it or want to hear it again, Monday, same time, and we'll be right back.